ask you, everyone, to mute your phone except after OB, as that is time to do the prayer.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Sister Yvonne. Thank you, Sister Yinka. Thank you, everyone on the line tonight. God bless you. We give God glory for your life, for your dedication, your commitment to the call of God upon your life, and the mandate that God has given you. Father, we continue to give you all the glory tonight. Truly, we have come to adore you. We have come to adore you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Father, thank you for how far you brought us through this whole year, from January to this moment. It is your mercy. It is your grace that have kept us. Father, because you still want to fulfill that for which we were born. Father, we thank you. Thank you for those who have been so committed to this altar, for the nation and for the church and for your purpose in this nation on earth as it is in heaven. Father, you are a God who remembers and you are a God who rewards. Remember your people even in this season as we reflect and as you remind us of the reason for this season. Father, may we never forget the reason we were born, even as Jesus never forgot the assignment and the reason he was born. So we receive glory and honor tonight, and may you alone be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What a season, what a time we are in, and to God be all the glory. So much is happening in this season. So much activity, so much schedule, so much zeal, so much momentum, and to God we give all the glory, who have seen us all the way from January, and now we're here at the end of this year, and celebrating this moment. Truly is the mercy and the grace of God, and we thank God for it. Amen. And I pray that God will continue to find us faithful, and to continue to reward you for the way you've committed yourself to the call of God on your life. And may God continue to bless your family and everything that concerns you because of your obedience. Amen. Tonight is so interesting that I just want to go ahead and say this. This probably will be our last Wednesday for this year, because the next Wednesday will be right in the middle of Christmas, and we want to honor your time with your family, you know, and what you're doing. So if we don't meet next Wednesday, the Wednesday we're going to meet again is going to be on the 2nd of January. So basically, we're not only ending the year together. I think there's a vibration on somebody has a phone on a speaker phone. We are not only ending this Wednesday. Christmas is coming, and we want to be able to wish you the best Christmas ever to your family, and at the same time wishing you a happy new year. Before we meet January 2nd, we are going to focus prayer on your destiny. The destiny of everyone that comes on this altar. We're just going to be praying for alignment of God's purpose on your life in 2019. The alignment of God's purpose on all our lives. So remember that it's going to be a very special time of prayer when we come together January 2nd. By the grace of the Lord, amen. And I know God has already gone before us, and we all shall see 2019 with glorious, fresh testimonies in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to quickly share two major things with us tonight. One is, because of this season and because of this time, it will not be fair to just wash over without mentioning something about the season. And then two, I want to share with you the reason we are called intercessors and the reason we are called watchmen, and why watchmen are on call, and whenever God calls, we respond. So we're going to look into an urgent call that the Lord is stirring in our hearts. I want to share that with you. Amen. So the first one, I want to, every time we experience a season, like the season of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know, popularly known in the world as Easter or Christmas or Passover, anytime we celebrate this significant thing, like Pentecost, it's always a memorial because it's already taken place. So it's a memorial, but the only one of the ways to embrace a new awakening or revelation of the season is to make it an awakening, a reminder. A memorial is a reminder, and a reminder is something that says, don't forget the reason for the season. Don't forget the atmosphere that surrounds the season. Why God allowed the season, what the season is all about. So every time we go through that, that's my reflection. And I want to share with you, there are many reflections for the season, but I want to share something that will is a forerunner to what I'm about to share with you in the second part. Isaiah chapter 9, the familiar scripture here about the season, Isaiah chapter 9 says, verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, this is the scripture we read. Prophetically, Isaiah, God revealed to Isaiah that though man has been born into this world, children have been born into this world, but there's a child that's about to be born. And Isaiah 7 talks about this child will come in an unusual way through a virgin. But here the God is saying to Isaiah, when this child is born, he's going to introduce a new government. And this government is going to rule in judgment and justice, righteousness. And this government will manifest the wonders of God, the counsel of God, the might of God, and the fatherhood of God. And then will bring peace, for he will be the Prince of Peace. So this government will bring about peace. So we read this, and there's a lot in the scripture to say about this government will always increase and there's no end to it when it comes. So everybody looked forward to this government as the coming of the Messiah, when he will be born by a virgin. Now, knowing all this, the one thing that I want to highlight tonight, specifically about the season, is one part that sometimes we forget to, we don't really emphasize when we read the scripture. And so I'll go back to the scriptures before, for unto us a child is born. Isaiah 9 verse 2 says, the people that walked in darkness have seen great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has light shined. So then he said, unto us a son is born. So if you read the rest of this, everything relating to the birth of the son, and the coming of the Messiah, the emphasis is that it's a kingdom of light and it's a kingdom of life. So Isaiah is saying here that those who walk in darkness have seen great light. Those who dwell in the land of shadow of death. So two things have been in existence from the fall of man. The two things, major two things, has been: one, darkness came into this world through Satan, through the fall of man. So from there, the Bible says, the prince of this world, the God, the power of darkness, has been ruling over man. But because of this fall, death has come unto man. That is, the wages of sin is death. So two things have been existing since ever Satan started ruling to his own government in this world. It's a government of darkness, or the power of darkness, and it's a kingdom of death. The wages of sin is death. So Isaiah says, the people that walked in darkness, the world has been lying in darkness, will see great light. Those that dwell in the land of the shadow of death. So sin brought darkness and death, and Satan is the god of darkness and is the god of the dead. So that's why Jesus says, Paul was writing, he says, we have been delivered from the power of darkness into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. You know, we've delivered from darkness into the kingdom of light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Amen. Yeah. So Jesus came, this son came, and the Bible says those who live in darkness have seen light, those who live in the shadow of death have seen great light have shone. So he came, and he came, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of light. Say, I'm the light of the world. So one, darkness has been displaced by light when Jesus came, and then he says, for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son, that those who believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life, meaning eternal life. So Jesus came and he conquered death and he gave life. Amen. So two things that we'll always remember about this season and about what has always existed is DD. Satan came and introduced to the world two D's, darkness and death. And this is the strength of the kingdom of darkness, the power of Satan. Jesus came, that's why the angels said it is good news. But this good news about the birth of a child that wasn't born of the seed of this world was born of heaven. And came, Jesus came and gave us two L's. Jesus came to give us light, the kingdom of light, and that light gave us life. John chapter 1 says he came and he gave us life, and that life is the light of God, and darkness cannot comprehend it. So as we celebrate this season, let us be reminded that the moment we are born again, we've accepted Christ and been born into this kingdom, we have now been given power to rule, because darkness, light rules over darkness, life rules over death. So this season reminds us that we are under a kingdom of light, and we are now the light of the world. So as light, the day rules over night, so does he that is in us greater than he that is in the world. And as life rules over death, we have no more fear of death, because death has been defeated and now we have eternal life. So we thank God for this season of great news, and now God says we should carry this light into the world of darkness and give them a light. So this season reminds us that we have a message of hope to every mankind, that they cannot more live in darkness because light has come. They should no more be afraid of death because life is available in Christ Jesus. So we should go forth in this season and give hope to the hopeless and give good news to our generation. So let this season remind us that we are blessed to be a blessing. Amen. Amen. So now, having shared this about the season and a reminder for us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, as light rules over darkness. I want to also share, carry this to the next thing tonight. The governments, there are natural governments and there are spiritual governments. Like we read here, he said, the government shall be on his shoulder. It's talking about he rules over the affairs of heaven and earth. So we see that there are natural governments, there are spiritual governments. The spiritual government always rules over the natural government. And then in the spiritual government, there are two kinds of government. There is the kingdom of light that rules over the kingdom of darkness. Now the kingdom of darkness contends for the seat of the powers of the government, the natural governments of this world. And so the kingdom of light also contends, you know, to rule and to take back that which has been stolen from the kingdom of light. So as we live in this time, God has now delegated us as his children of light, as agents of the kingdom of light, as ambassadors in the earth to legislate and to enforce light, righteousness, justice upon the affairs of the kingdom of this world. So to have more understanding of our legislative and a spiritual assignment on the earth, I want to read a scripture here about Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 3, God called Ezekiel and commissioned Ezekiel, and then he called Ezekiel, who is a prophet, he called him a different name also. He says, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Also in Jeremiah 1:10, God told Jeremiah, Jeremiah, by your words you can establish the future and the destiny of nations. Your words, you can tear down, you can build kingdoms, nations. So as God's children, we are kings and priests, but also God has called us to be watchmen, or what we call prophetic intercessors. So as watchmen, he says to be over the house of Israel. As intercessors on the line today, we've been called to be watchmen over the nations, specifically over this nation that God has called us. And like you all know, America is a nation that rules over nations. It's almost like an empire. So America being that, whatever happens here affects the destiny of the rest of the nations. So as we are praying and watching, I've been noticing something that I know you all have been observing. So God started stirring in our hearts that there's really an urgency in the nation. There's an urgency in the nation that we need to take serious note of. And that urgency is in regards to the government, the physical government over the nation. I want to go straight to that. As we see in the natural what is happening in America, for intercessors, we don't see things happening in the natural with human eyes. With the things happening in the natural, they are indicators for what is happening in the spirit through the eyes of watchmen. So as you observe in the natural, we pray God now begins to unfold and begin to give understanding. And like he told to Ezekiel, hear the word at my mouth. God begins to now show you and giving you assignment based on what you see in the natural. So a lot has been happening in the natural. But before I share what's been happening in the natural, real quickly, I want to also say this. There are certain things that when they happen in our lives, we are not quick to call 911. We are not in a haste to call. We can handle it. We can take care of it. We can address it in our home. But there are situations we call crisis moment. When we see it happening, it's before we realize it, we already picked up our phone and we dial 911. So 911 in the natural has become an emergency line in America for the police when there is a crisis moment. For the EMS, when somebody is at the verge of death or there's an accident, you know, very crisis, life and death moment. Or for the firefighters, they are just, those people just sit in the office at alert. They're not doing anything, but they are always alert because their job is a crisis moment. So as soon as they hear that 911 call, they leave everything and they go for it with an alarm. So the police, the EMS, firefighters, or whatever, you know, in the military, they also have a 911 emergency call, etc. So this also, the Bible also tells us that God also calls a 911 call. And sometimes when he calls that call, not many people hear because not many people are awakened to hear or to understand the urgency of that call. And this happened in the book of Ezekiel chapter 22. There was a 911 call from heaven. And the Bible says, and God says that I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation. If you read the scriptures before, then you see that it says the priests were all distracted, the prophets were distracted, the princes were distracted, the people were distracted, the whole nation was at the point, in today's world, maybe the church, the pastors, everybody is probably at this moment swallowed in the desire for Christmas or the atmosphere in the season. So, you know, in Ezekiel days, Israel was heading towards a major calamity and God was calling and nobody was able to hear. So, there are moments like that. But I thank God that in our time, that God has raised up altars, men and women who have positioned their spiritual senses and like this altar tonight and so many across the world who, when God speaks, they hear the word of the Lord and they respond. So a few days ago the Lord spoke to us and we were sensitive enough to respond, to hear, and I'm going to share that, the word of the Lord, with you in a moment. But let me share with you the observation over the nation, and I will share the word of the Lord that I will receive and how we are responding to it as a 911, as an emergency call for prayer over the state of the government and the nation at this moment as intercessors. So the observation is this, and I'm sure most of you who pay close attention to the news have noticed that America has been growing under an intense division ever since President Trump got into office. The nation has been experiencing an accelerated divide, but it has, the division, the momentum escalated as soon as a special counsel was appointed to investigate events of the election and also to investigate the president's affairs and his life. That investigation has taken on a direction that, if you all notice, in the natural, I'm talking about the natural now in the news, suddenly the President Trump's lawyer, lawyer was raised up, and I mean, this is the president's lawyer, rose up and says, we're going to take care of this. And then the president had so many mighty people surrounding him, one by one, each of them are now facing jail sentence. Each of them have been knocked out. And every one of them has a very high profile relationship with the president. So now, all, every one of them, the news will say, they have cooperated fully with the investigation. Meaning, everything they know about Trump has been given to the investigation. So, God has called us in 2 Timothy to contend, always to contend for the whomever, for the seat of power. Because it says, 2 Timothy makes it very clear that the spiritual world rules over the seat of power. Whenever the church fails to obey the call of God to influence the seat of government, the power of darkness will take over. And the power of darkness will use the seat of government to influence every other sphere of influence, every mountain of influence, the seven mountains. So the seat of government has the power and the mandate to do that. So that's why the kingdom of darkness always goes after that strongly. So when God is telling us, go after the kings, go after that seat, so that we can live peaceably in our time. Peaceably. So that's the reason why, no matter who is there, we need to bombard that seat, so that whatever influence is there must be tended towards righteousness. If a heathen is there, we must pray for God's influence. If an unsaved person is there, we must pray. If a saved person is there, we must pray that God will use them for righteousness. We cannot ignore this mandate of God to take action to make sure that seat is ruled by righteousness. So that's why God said that. Now, he's in office, of course, there are so many things happening through that office. Some are positive, some are extremely negative. So, but our job is to pray until we shift every influence of that office to righteous purposes. But now, with this investigation, it is going at a place where the news, you can see the divide in the nation is growing. And the investigation now is not only knock out all the people around Trump, it is finally coming down to the fact that Trump is about himself. The report is about to come out. So everybody's watching. So, but the Lord is showing us that people are looking at the natural, but they're not looking at the spiritual force behind what's going on. So the Lord is showing me that there is a spiritual part of this. And the tendency where this is going, as soon as the report comes out, there's going to be a real chaos in the nation. And it might lead to all kinds of things. Because a lot of secrets that Trump is not expecting will be unfolded. And the nation will be plunged into a crisis moment. And if Satan takes advantage of the crisis moment, America will be totally in a very bad situation. Why will this moment turn into an unbelievable crisis moment? Now, when something similar to the direction where the nation is going right now happened a few years ago in America, in the time of President Nixon, it happened, something like this happened, where a president was being sabotaged and also a president was being set up to be eliminated. And every strategy worked and the president was impeached. But when that happened, the nation, the government and the political government of that day was united. Whether Democrat or Republican, they were still working together in unity. But now the nation is very divided. And the division in the nation right now is a plumb line between what is spiritual. There's a war in the nation, and it's almost light and darkness. It's contending heavily for the seat of government. Now, because of the obvious division in the nation, which is spiritual, if what happened in the days of Nixon happened now, it's not going to go down well. It's not going to go down well. President Trump has people who are willing to die for him. Certain kind of people. And the other parts of darkness are bent on the fact that they're going to take over, they're going to enforce the agenda. So there is a force over the admin ordination. So our job is to remind ourselves about what I just told you earlier about the season. The Bible says the child that is being born, the Lord of Lords, is his kingdom rules over every kingdom, and it's going to be forever, and his kingdom enforces peace. So now as intercessors, when we come to a time like this, we live above the level of a Democrat or the level of a Republican. We rule from the place of the heavens. We enforce peace in a nation. We enforce light in a nation. We are not bended by emotional political sway. We're here to enforce kingdom agenda. And so with this crisis looming, we are to pray for peace in the nation. We are to pray for unity, because whatever happens here will affect every one of us, and will the domino effect will shake the whole world, and God forbid enemy nations takes advantage of it. So because Russia has been mentioned so much in America than is ever mentioned in their history, has been very involved in the situation. So we cannot sit back and watch the natural people just entertaining themselves and something happens suddenly. So all of a sudden, as we're praying and looking into this, the Lord spoke to us. And based on the word of the Lord, it confirmed exactly what we're sensing about the spiritual atmosphere of the nation. And God is calling us. As we receive the word of the Lord, we now moved into an action. So for those of you who have not, who were not part of those who responded to an emergency meeting yesterday, I want Sister Keziah to lead us to read the word of the Lord that came to us. Remember, God spoke to Ezekiel. Say, you are a watchman, hear the word of my mouth and respond. So I want her to read the word of the Lord that we received, and I want to share with you our 911 response to the affairs of the nation. Thank you for listening. Sister Keziah, can you read the word that came through our sister Yinka, whom personally I believe that God is using her as a prophetic voice in this moment among the body of Christ.
Thank you so much, everyone, for coming on the line. The Lord said to us, the prophecy says, I hear God talk about praying for the peace of America. He says, pray for the peace of the nation. He says, for America is about to set her own self on fire. America wants to set her own self on fire. He that knows the power of prayer, pray for her, that she will not consume herself with her own pride and arrogance. Pray for her. Pray for her that she will not turn around to become a tail rather than the head. That she will not become a tail instead of the head. I see groups of ministers coming together, seasoned ministers, praying for the nation of America. I don't know if this has anything to do with the ministers' conference, but I hear ministers' conference. That is, ministers coming together and genuinely praying for the nation of America. He that has eyes to see what is going on in the nation, and you that have ears to hear the sound of war among the rulers of the land. I hear God talk about a great contention among the rulers. A great contention among the rulers. He says, but if the head is sick, will the body not be sick? Where are the ministers? Where are the ones that have committed power into their hands? Where are they? And where are the watchmen? Where are the elders? Will they watch until there is decay? Will they come out of themselves and their pride at unnecessary competition? Who has bewitched the church that they cannot come together as one? While the watchmen slept, the adversary is creeping in. Until there is a decay, they will not know. And then they will now scream. They will scream, where is our God? I will always be if they will hear me. If they be attentive to the warning. Can you hear the sound of the blowing? Can you hear the sound of warning of the trumpet blowing? Warning in the land, gloom, that there is danger in the air. Even the animals understand the sounds of war and the rod and the scatter? Why is it that humans cannot sense the sound of danger? They focus on unnecessary things. They focus on the expansion of their own kingdom, not my kingdom. There is work to be done in the place of prayer. There is work to be done, O you saints, work to be done, that war will not break out in your nation. For they look for and call on a third world country and call other countries, but there's termites eating wood right within. There are termites, wickedness operating in the background in America. And yet the church is taking it easy when there is danger. God bless you. Thank you, everybody. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much, precious Kezia. Thank you. Yeah, so that's the prophetic word that came, and it totally confirmed the burden that I've been feeling and I've been seeing in the nation spiritually. And that was when it became very clear that this was an emergency call, spiritual call. Ezekiel 22:9-11. 2230 call. So that's why I called Sister Billy, who is our prayer chairman for SLP, and of course over Willing Women. So we after the consultation, we called some other prayer leaders together for a meeting last night, and we all agreed based on this prophetic word and the prevailing crisis atmosphere in the nation, for us to call for a 3 days prayer and fasting immediately. So we are choosing this Friday, Saturday, Sunday to consecrate a 3 days of prayer and fasting, and I will be sending the scriptures to you. We're going to send an email with this very specific scriptures to keep all of us on the same page. So you can pray so many things about the nation, but the scriptures will keep all of us united during these 3 days of prayer. So you take time to dedicate some time just to pray for the president, for the nation, for this council. Just pray for the government, for the judiciary, just the government, and to pray for the will of God. So those scriptures, you can be praying them. We'll send them to you, to the different lists that we have. And then what we'll do to unite us during these 3 days is we are going to come on this same line for that 3 days, beginning Friday. We'll come on this same line, 10 p.m., and we'll pray to 11 p.m. every day. 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. We'll close exactly 11 p.m. every day for these 3 days, praying for the nation. But on your own, please carry this as if you are the only one feeling this burden, and just travail over the life of this nation, over the destiny of this nation. Pray for peace. Pray for unity among the government factors. Pray that God's will be done. Pray that this seat of power, hear the word of the Lord, that God will prevail over every form of, no matter what has been decreed and said, that God will intervene, that God will bring humility upon everyone that is given this opportunity to be a leader or the president. God will grant him humility. It takes humility to hear the Lord. So our 45 people responded to that call yesterday and are committing. So I'm bringing this to you as God has called all of us as a team. And one time at Beto, when we gathered to have an executive conference meeting of ESLPN, we realized that moments like this would come. So we set up a 911 prayer force. So anytime there's an emergency like this, we send out an emergency call and then see those who respond to the call of heaven, like God did in Ezekiel 22:30. And I know that every one of you were born for such a time as this. And America is very dear to your heart. So that's where we are. And we're going to begin this Friday to pray. And then the fasting is people can eat, you know, break their fast at 6 p.m. So, you know, as the Lord leads you, break your fast at 6 p.m. But join us 10 p.m. Eastern Time every night on this very same line. And we're going to go into a time of worship like the days of Jehoshaphat as a part of obedience for the spiritual warfare. And then we're going to pray as the Lord leads after a reasonable amount of worship. We're going to pray as the Lord leads for these 3 days. And God will reward you. God will remember you that you were instrumental to whatever God will use to this prayer to settle the intention of the forces of darkness to destabilize this nation. So God will remember you as God blesses this nation. So that's where we are, and I want to thank you as you respond to that call, and we look forward to hear every one of you on the line on Friday. Please pray, call others to it, invite others. But this is not, it's not mandatory to you, but it's mandatory to those who have really taken responsibility for this call since yesterday. Thank you all so much. This is why we've been doing this Bible study together, this training together. This is why we've been called intercessors and watchmen, is for times like this. And God bless you as you respond. Thank you.